Good morning. It's nice to have the opportunity to share with you. When you see a film or TV, the credits are usually at the end, but I'll give the credits first. We've already heard. Thank you, Dave, for your tremendous help in doing the PowerPoint. Thank you to Paul, by the inspiration of God, for writing the book of Galatians. But thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, for your great salvation. And then those little bits that you get at the bottom in small print that says, any mistakes are mine. I'm going to give the introduction after we've read the passage, which is from the second chapter of Galatians. And it's the right-hand one, thank you very much. I pressed the middle one by mistake. We'll read that and then I'll give the intro. Paul's writing to the Galatians. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. This is a map of the location and give an intro around it. The book of Galatians is written to the churches established by Paul and Barnabas in southern Galatia on their first missionary journey. See if I can do this. Galatia. Southern Galatia to Pisidium, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, those churches in particular. The purpose of his writing was that Judaizers, who were Jewish Christians, who believed, among other things, that some Old Testament ceremonial practices were still binding on New Testament Christians. And one in particular, of course, was that of male circumcision. And so Paul is urging the Christians in Galatia not to get into legalism, but stay true to the gospel, the good news. That is, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross, rose again for the forgiveness of sins, yours and mine and theirs. It wasn't anything we could do by ourselves. It was the grace of the Lord Jesus that we've been singing about this morning. And it was in faith in his finished work alone. Nothing we could earn or obtain by keeping the law or traditions. By grace we are saved, we know, by faith. It's the gift of God. Paul knew this only too well. He had persecuted the Christians. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That was real. He was a legalist of the legalists. And because of him and people like him, the Christians, or the people of the way as they were called, were dispersed throughout the whole of this region. He started persecuting the Christians here in Jerusalem. And do you remember he was the one who was behind the stoning of Stephen here in Jerusalem. And because of him, Paul, all the Christians and others, they were dispersed all in this area. And then gradually they moved up and even into Damascus and all round here. And they, of course, what happened when they were dispersed? They told everybody about Jesus and the grace in the Lord Jesus and what Jesus has done on the cross. So, sorry, Paul, but although you wanted to blank it all out, what happened? It spread. The good news spread all in that area. And in chapter 1, which we haven't read, Paul was relating his conversion to them. And I like what Ern Baxter, who was a preacher who preached years ago, but up in the Dales, was it in the 70s? I like the way he put it. Forgive me, I'm trying to take him off. That nasty little Jew. He was sitting on a donkey and he was galloping towards Damascus. And he got letters in his hand, which were the authority to put him in prison and kill him. And he said, I'll get those Christians, those people of the way, those people who follow Jesus, I'm going to get rid of them once and for all. And he was on his way. But God looked down and said, oh no, you won't. I'm going to have you. And we know the story of his conversion. And he was changed around. And from persecuting the Christians, later on, he became one who was persecuted. And he's telling that story because, alas, what's beginning to happen, he hears that there are people, Christians, Judaizers, as we just read, and they were wanting to keep the old law as well as going to be Christians. And Paul saying, no, it's nothing to do with what we can do or the traditions of circumcision or anything. Let's get into the story. There's three things I want to bring to you from what we've been reading. I want to talk about, get it right. A companionship that was rich is there on a journey. A commission reaffirmed. and a compassion that was real. In the first verse of chapter 2, we read about Paul saying, "And I took Barnabas and Titus with me." Now that's all he had to say to them, because they knew them. They knew all of them. But hey, what sort of companions were going with Paul? Barnabas. We first read of him. I read a bit of the history in the Acts of the Apostle. In Acts 4, a guy called Joseph, who is a Levite, that's from a priestly family of the Jews, who was born in Cyprus. He sold land and he gave the money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. That was in the early days of the Christian church, you remember. And he gave that money for the poor. And so the disciples, Peter and James, decided to change his name and to call him Barnabas. And Barnabas means a son of encouragement. This was the character we're thinking about. Later on, when Paul was converted, nobody would introduce him. Some 3 years later, nobody would introduce him. They were all too scared of him. Who was it that introduced him to the disciples? Barnabas. After the dispersion through persecution, as we just talked about, the Jerusalem church sent Barnabas. This happened all before Paul had been converted. They send Barnabas to Damascus. So he's an apostolic delegate. He's sent there. And why do they send him? Because he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And because of him, great numbers were brought to the Lord. And while he's there and he's seeking the Lord, he thinks, hey, I could do with some help here. Who does he think of? He thinks, have I got it right? I'm beating myself there. He goes to Tarsus to seek Paul. And he didn't have a BMW. And he went 150 miles by road. And then they returned and they stayed a year in Antioch, teaching and preaching. At this time, it's Barnabas who's being assisted by a chap called Saul, by the account in Acts. But then while they're there in Antioch, the leaders there say, hey, you guys, we just feel we're going to lay our hands on you and commission you afresh and send you off. And they go off on their first missionary journey to Galatia via Cyprus. And we read in Acts 13 and onwards a change. Up till then, it had been saying Barnabas and Saul. Probably because Barnabas, that was territory that Barnabas knew all about. But from Cyprus onward, it then doesn't say Saul anymore. It says Paul. Luke, when recording the event, says Paul and Barnabas. So I guess Barnabas then hands over to Paul, and Paul becomes the leader as they go. Later on, when they go back again to Jerusalem, it's Barnabas that's mentioned first. Why? Because they know who this man is. They've known him from the early days, and he speaks up in defense. But I just give you that background because that's the sort of companion that Paul is taking with him. What a companion to have with you. A man of encouragement, a man of integrity. But who's the other one he takes with him? Titus. Now, Titus is not mentioned in the Acts of the Apostle. Some suggest it's because he was brother to Luke, and he didn't mention family. But nevertheless, we do find out about him in his epistle written to him by Paul. He says, "You are my true son in the faith." That's a good relationship to have, isn't it? And Paul leaves him to oversee the churches in Crete. In 2 Corinthians, we see that he's Paul's representative to the Christians in the year preceding the writing of 2 Corinthians, with a special commission to organize the collection scheme there, the poor. So he's a good administrator. But also it's noted that he has a love for Christians. He's a caring sort of guy. He is a man of integrity, we read in 2 Corinthians. Eusebius, who is one of the well-known historians of the time, records that Titus stays on in Crete after he's been commissioned to be there and oversee the churches. And he is a bishop to his old age there in Crete. I say, what sort of companions to have with you? Tremendous to have people like that to go with you on any journey. A commission reaffirmed. In verse 2 we read, "I set before them the gospel I preached among the Gentiles." As we know, that is the gospel of grace. The Lord Jesus has died upon the cross, and he's died for your sins and mine, and he's risen again. And because he's risen, we can have new life in him. And it's by that alone, not by tradition. Whatever traditions we might have, it's by grace alone. And it's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. That is the gospel. And he lays it out in his defense. "I set before them the gospel I preached among the Gentiles." And he says another to reaffirm it, "They didn't even put pressure on us to have Titus circumcised." So they were winning the argument. I bet Titus was glad of that, don't you? But then they saw, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the gospel. And then in verse 9 we read, James and Peter, the apostles, and John gave the right hand of fellowship. In other words, they commended them to the work of going to the Gentiles. So their commission was reaffirmed. This gospel by grace and by faith, which Paul is trying to communicate back to the Galatians, this is it. Stick with it. Don't get bound up in law again. But there was a compassion that was real. They were told, "Okay, we accept it. We accept what you're doing. We are happy with this grace by faith. But we say, but please do remember the poor." And what does Paul say? "We were eager to do it." Now this word "eager" from the Greek is spoudazo. That's for my sake, the bit on the end, so I can say it right. I need to write that in other languages too, don't I? We went to Poland recently and I couldn't even say good morning properly. But eager. What does this word eager mean? It means to exert oneself. It means to make every effort. Give diligence. Be zealous. And it combines thinking and acting. It covers inception, action, follow through. So it's quite a word. Quite a word. Should that be? Is that the gospel? Is it a gospel to the poor as well? Is it the good news? Are there other scriptures that confirm it? Of course there are. And if you sit back, I'm going to read you a couple. This is Isaiah. Listen to this. Let's get the grip of this. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, your own family? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, and the pointing of finger, and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Hey, we got a chance to do that in this our nation. We've run short of ideas. We're poor in Parliament. We're poor in the banks. We're poor. Christians, now's our time to shine. Sorry, that's an aside. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings. That's what Paul and his people wanted to be. They wanted to bring the good news of the Lord Jesus and to the poor, of course. Job, similarly. Because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist them. The man who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. And James said in his epistle, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Just confirmation if we needed it to say, yes, Paul, you're right, to be eager to look and help the poor. What's our challenge for today? Do we value companionship on our journey? I guess that's true for the happy couple as they celebrate today. Companionship. Those who've had 25 years, companionship. The value of friendship and companionship. Do we value it? Challenge to me, am I a good companion? Do I need reaffirmation or reassurance as to my mission. As Richard had often told us, we're on a mission. We're on a mission together. Do we need to be reaffirmed, confident in what God has said to us? In the good news of the gospel? Have I a concern for the poor? What am I? What are we doing about it? We can be encouraged, food bank, but what else is God challenging us individually to do? Oh, Bono, there he is. You heard of him? Is that right? Bono, have I got it right? Did I say it right? Did I say it right? Bono. So he says, to me, faith in Jesus Christ that is not aligned with social justice, that is not aligned with the poor, it's nothing. Do we agree? The book of Galatians was a major book in the arguments that Martin Luther put forward when he saw that the church was so legalistic, getting away from the gospel. It's by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's all because of Jesus. This is the gospel which Paul is defending. But in his defense, he needs companions that will stand with him. He needs to be reaffirmed and reassured as to his mission. And as he says, he's got to have a concern for the poor. While I've been speaking, or while we're today, anyway, this morning, up in the Uttoxeter area, 14 prisoners are being baptized. By grace, you're saved through faith. And so I hear in the last year or so, 45 prisoners in that area, in those prisons, have taken Jesus Christ as their Savior. They realize they can't save themselves. And they need the grace of God. And I understand you have to apply if you want to go and watch. And I understand 175, if I got it right, prisoners have asked for permission to go and watch 14 of their inmates profess the salvation that's in Jesus. Do we value this gospel? What a God we have. Can we just sing again, by grace, one of you saying? May we sing that as we close, and in this section of what we're doing? Could we play that and sing it together? And make it your testimony this morning. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know it, don't go home without it. Speak to your mates, your friends here today. You can know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today. What a wonderful Savior we have.